Thank you for joining us today on Positively Charged Biz. We are here to motivate, inspire, and support our listeners as they write their life stories. We are a proud founding member of the Real Disrupt Podcast Collaborative, and you can check out more awesome podcasts at realdisrupt.com. Hey everyone, I hope you are having a positive and productive day. On today's show, we are going to learn why we need to disrupt so we do not become extinct. I would like to introduce you all to Jeff Zimpfer. He is a former national sales trainer with Tony Robbins and has been in the real estate industry since 2003. As a successful mortgage originator, he consistently closed over 120 loans per year. And today, he is a highly sought-after speaker on the subject of how to leverage social media and digital marketing to create a personal brand that gets noticed in today's noisy world. Jeff is also the founder of the Mortgage Marketing Institute and host of the highly rated podcast, Mortgage Marketing Radio. Jeff, we are so thrilled you are here with us today. And on Positively Charged, we like to start at the beginning. So take us back and tell us what brought you into the mortgage industry.
I would love to. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. It's actually a story that brings up some emotions that I'd like to revisit and reconnect to, you know, how it all got started. So for me, I'll try and give you the brief version of the story is I actually started out having a, how I got to being in the mortgage and real estate business was, started with a road towards a passion for personal development.
Okay.
And so what that meant was, you mentioned in my bio, right, a former national sales trainer with Tony Robbins. So this is going back to the 90s,
okay.
1992, 95-ish. I was really getting into personal development, reading books and, you know, always and focused on, hey, how can I have a bigger life, a better life, a larger life, right? Didn't necessarily come from a place where that was always poured into me that, you know, quote, anything is possible. So I sought out information and I was reading books and Tony Robbins' first book was Unlimited Power. That was one of the ones that really struck me in a very significant way. And long and short of it is the book had such a big impact on me is that I said, you know what? I want to work for this guy. And so back then, right, there was no like internet, no YouTube, nothing. So literally I had to make a videotape of myself and mail it to them. You remember VHS tapes, right? With the big camera and stuff. So I had to make a videotape of myself. Why you? Why should we hire you? And send that off to them in the mail. And they would watch the video to see, hey, how do I present? You know, how do I look? All that kind of stuff. And so I had already at that time, I was living in Maine, by the way, you know, grew up an R&B brat, moved out around a lot. But at that point, I was living in New England for most of my, you know, later adolescent years. I was living in Maine, tired of the snow. I had actually subscribed to the San Diego Tribune newspaper, which was mailed to me every single week so I could look at the apartment ads to see how much apartments were and what they were running for. Again, right? 90s, really couldn't get online and do this. So I had made a decision in advance that I'm moving to San Diego. That's where I'm going. That's me. That's, you know, beaches, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, I send them the tape. They're like, okay, cool. We like what we see, but you live in San Diego. I'm sorry. You live in Maine. We're in San Diego. And I'm like, no worries, man. I'm on the road. I'm going to be there in a few days. So literally I drove across country with a guy I barely knew from a company that I was working at in sales. I was doing door-to-door membership sales for a place like Costco.
Oh, wow.
It was actually called BJ's Wholesale Club.
Yep.
I don't know if you've had them out there.
Yeah, we have them out here. Yep.
Yeah. So I was doing door-to-door sales when they first opened up, going business to business to business, had my clipboard. Hey, have you heard of the membership club that's in town? You know, all that. And I literally like left my car on the side of the road, because I bought the car for $400. The window didn't go up. It was winter time, if you can picture that. And I literally drove across country. It took me 6 days. We stopped a few places along the way, Vail, Vegas, all these places. I had never been west of Maine. I had never traveled or anything like that. Furthest place I'd ever been was Florida. So I'm driving cross country, not knowing a soul with this dude that I've been working with for a few months in his car. And we show up in San Diego. You know, I get there, I meet the, you know, my sales manager and I do the interview, I get hired. And long and short of it is now I, for the next 2.5, 3 years, travel around the country, live in a different city for 6 or 8 weeks at a time with six different people and go from city to city to city to city promoting Tony's seminars. During that time, I'm speaking in front of a lot of sales audiences, people like real estate agents, mortgage, car dealerships, insurance, MLM, right? Mm-hmm. Every audience who's you can imagine, right? So bottom line is this, is after that run of 2.5, 3 years, it gets a little tiring. It's like being a band on the road, right? It's touring with no breaks. I wanted to settle down. And so I was at this point where I'm like, okay, I'm coming off the road. I don't have to travel anymore. What do I want to do? Where are my interests? And quite honestly, I was looking at real estate and mortgage as the two areas that I was in front of a lot that had the most interest for me. I made a decision to become a mortgage originator. And long and short of it, that's how I started. I got a job at a subprime shop, working internet leads, which is a whole nother story. And then boom, my career started.
That's awesome. And I love the story. And now you see why we start at the beginning. Because as you're telling that story, I have lots of things running through my brain at that moment. One of them is, I personally think we all need some type of self-improvement, right? Or because we're ever changing, right? We were speaking a little bit before we jumped on about how you have different seasons and points and milestones in all of our lives, right? Of course, who we were in our 20s during that time, of course, is different than years later. Our, you know, things have changed, family, things have changed in business, but our foundation of who we were at that time, that doesn't change. When you have the mindset of continuing to improve yourself at all times of our lives, you will always continue to grow. Now, the other thing is your ability to sell. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I got my career started telemarketing. You were knocking on doors for BJ's Wholesale.
Yeah.
Regardless of fast forward in time of who you became later, those foundational skills that we learned, they're with us forever. That doesn't go away as you change positions or titles or who you are. And so I always encourage everyone that job that you're like, oh man, that was rough. You know, knocking on doors, getting the door slammed in my face or the people hanging up on us. Yeah, that may be challenging, but it's some of the best foundational work that we ever had. Okay, so that's awesome. So you jump into subprime, okay?
And
That was a very busy time. 2003 was a great time.
Great time. New Century. AmeriQuest, I believe, was the other one, right? Big one. So yeah, all the subprime loans. And I cut my teeth in that. And I have to say, so for me, why I shift out of that, and my next job was for Countrywide. Was because I started reading publications like Mortgage Originator Magazine and things like that, and getting exposed to other quote top producers. I was always curious, right? I mean, let's face it, right? I'm consuming these books. I read Tony's, but all this kind of stuff. I'm curious, always learning. I knew that the dynamic of a subprime over the phone internet lead shop was not me, was not who I was about, right? I wanted to build a career. I wanted to, you know, make a difference, have an impact with people. I wanted to be a quote professional and not just be a sales jockey, because you could be that anywhere. So I started to like read all these stories of people doing purchase business and building these businesses of $50-100 million in annual production. And I'd go to my friend who's also, you know, the guy who got me the job there. I'd go, hey man, look at this magazine. You got this guy here doing $50 million a year. Like by himself. And he's like, no, that's not him. That's a team. And he's a broker, you know, ball. I'm like, no, it's just him. Right. And anyway, he wasn't buying it, wasn't seeing it. And so I knew from that moment on, I was like, I cannot continue here. I need to find a place where I can do purchase business, build realtor relationships, and have real sustainability instead of just living and dying by the refi. So I had to make a shift to be, you know, kind of that more of that mortgage professional route, if you will, that's has referral partners, that's doing purchase business, that's building a brand and things like that. So that's where I pivoted.
And that's great. So tell us a little bit about that. So let's speak about building that brand, building that referral base. And listen, here we are, 2020. We all know refis are through the roof. We know, you know, lots of, we're almost back to, yes, you have a lot of the call center mentality and the internet leads almost, you know, that same type of thing. And it's funny. I remember one time I was speaking to a gentleman and he said to me, he started during the subprime days. And he said, Laura, it was very simple. He said, everybody was focused on refis. He's like, so I just went to the realtors and said, oh, are you having difficulty getting a hold of your loan officer? I'm here to serve you. So I always remember him saying that. So tell us a little bit, what do you recommend in terms of building that relationship and that connection and getting into that purchase market?
That's a great question. And it's a question that I'm sure you know very well, that when you ask that question about realtors, let's just take that as a headline. Yeah. There's a lot that comes up for people when they hear that, right? There, because as you well know, there's a lot of different ways to do this business. So I really think first and foremost, you got to get clear on who do you want to be? What kind of business do you want to have? Right? Because there are people that succeed online, you know, if they have the budget and the systems in place and the capability to generate their own internet leads, paid ads, paid traffic, there are people who can do that. What I found is not a lot, right? Unless you're a company and you've got the backing and the financial wherewithal and you've got people to manage that whole thing. I find loan officers who try and dip their toe into that oftentimes with varying levels of success. And that's why for me personally, now that I'm in, you know, training and coaching and I'm a sales trainer with Movement Mortgage, I find that there's a few buckets that we focus on first for loan officers to succeed. Referral partners, right? If and realtors are obviously in there. There's financial planners, advisors, divorce attorneys, and things like that. And then there's, of course, you know, your past client database. And then we get into more of the, well, next actually is organic traffic. And last is paid ads. Yeah. By organic traffic, I mean creating content, building a brand, putting it out there, kind of the new way of doing business that we didn't get to do in the 90s. There was no Facebook. There was no videos to create or, you know, and all that kind of jazz. So I think for me, that's kind of like the pecking order, basically in that order of if you want to build sustainability and be able to grow your business quickly, because let's face it, there's a lot of new people coming in the business. I talk to them every single week and you could do a lot of different things, but I'm a believer in why not put yourself in front of the wave of activity that's already happening. And there's what, 5 million transactions? Is it a month or is it a year? I can never get that right. For the NAR, 5 million home purchases that happen. Realtors touch 80% of those. That's a hell of a lot of business, right? And so realtors get a bad name a lot of time from some people out there who are vocal about realtors and don't hang your hat on realtors and you need to generate your own business. And I get that. But let me tell you, the quickest, fastest path to getting a deal is somebody who's already got the deal, right? And building a relationship with them and building trust with them and being part of that whole referral ecosystem. I don't know if that helps answer.
Yes. And you know what? I want to go back to something that you said when you were speaking about how you came into the industry. You said that you had to sit down and you had to take out your big camcorder back then and you had to make a video. Mm-hmm. And you said you had to say why they should choose you.
Yeah. Right.
Well, isn't that kind of similar to the relationships that we are looking to form, whether it's realtors, financial planners, divorce attorneys, whatever, or direct to consumers, aren't we just trying to explain and get them to understand why they should choose us?
Isn't that always the question? Yes. Why you?
That's right.
Yeah, over the competition. And don't tell me it's going to be about price.
It's never about price, Jeff. If it is, that's a problem.
Well, yeah, if you're leading with price, unless you can be the low price leader, right? Unless you are Walmart or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, it's hard to build a business long term on that.
Absolutely. So now fast forwarding, okay, you've made your way. What prompted you to write the book? I'm curious what that pivotal moment was where you were like, you know what? I've been doing this and I have some great things to share. I want to get this message out.
Good question. Couple of things come up for me about that. One is truth. I wanted to tell the truth, if you will. I mean, my self-proclaimed, tagline for my podcast is Chief Truth Teller. So I'm a big, I don't know what it is. I'm somewhat of a data guy because I think a lot of stuff is said in the industry and in general, a lot of stuff is said in life that's not accurate. that's based on opinion or conjecture and doesn't have the data necessarily to back that up. So, and I've been watching this now being in this industry since 2003. Look, there's 100 different ways to do this business, real estate and mortgage, right? And I have this saying about marketing, right? Everything works in terms of marketing, just everything doesn't work all the time for everybody in every area, right? So I think you've got to pivot and adjust a little bit for your local area and who you're going after, who your target market is and all that stuff. But for me, as you know, there's a lot of voices in this space, people doing podcasts and videos and all that kind of stuff. And to be honest with you, to be honest with the listeners, I got tired of hearing people say, you have to do this. You have to do that. You have to be here. If you don't do this, you're going to fade away and you're going to die. And you know what I mean? All this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And while the truth
Fear
might be-
sells, right?
Right.
When
right.
people went fear sells, oh, I better listen into this because if I don't, we could die.
Right. Yeah. And of course, I came up with the title Disrupt or Die, right? So I wanted kind of a bold title because I do believe this is that if you, here's what I believe, if you don't adapt, you will perish.
I agree.
You will fade away. You will become less effective. So that is true.
Yes.
But I also wanted to provide some facts about what's really working across the country for mortgage and real estate. Because what works in Manhattan is not the same thing that works in Idaho. Okay. When it comes to marketing. So I wanted to present, look, I've interviewed over 150, you know, top producing originators, a bunch of realtors. I've trained a bunch of realtors all over the country, worked with a lot of top people. So I wanted to bring stories about the truth. Is somebody succeeding with cold calling? You bet. And he makes $500,000 a year doing it. Okay. Does that mean that that's right for you? No.
Right.
But I don't necessarily think we throw the baby out with the bathwater and say X doesn't work, right? It can and does work for the right person in the right place. So I wanted to just show people, here's some examples of how people are doing video, of how people are creating brands with social media and YouTube, et cetera. Here's some examples of how people are succeeding with Instagram, et cetera, right? I wanted to show all the possibilities of how to build a business, how to succeed in the mortgage and real estate space. I wanted to show use cases of how people are doing that. So you, the reader, the listener, could pick the one that fits for you and go, ah, I have somebody to follow. I've got an example right here. Thank you. You know, kind of pave the road forward for them.
So what's that? How do we get people to two things? One, take action. Mm-hmm. What's that? What, you know, because listen, it's not necessarily that people don't know that you should do X or Y or try or that. So that's one. And then the second thing is consistency.
Mm-hmm.
I think consistency is the key to almost everything, because again, in our industry, we're very fast moving, where we all have very short attention spans. It's like, okay, you know, let's get in here. And sometimes I've seen people struggle with, it didn't work. I did it once. Yeah. It didn't work. I give up. Now let me move to something else. So what are your thoughts on both of those things? One, taking action, whatever that action is, and two, the consistency.
Yeah, those are great questions. And there's a, you know, it's funny. I'm hesitating a little bit because for me, the answer to that often depends on who am I talking to on that. Because the answer to how does somebody take action? How does somebody follow through and be consistent varies a little bit, I think, based on the person, their psychology, what their life situation is, and things like that. So I'll try and answer it in
and
a broad
sense.
And that's
okay. It doesn't have to be a one size fits all.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think it is, because I think there's some context that I don't have about that question. Like if somebody came to me and they said, you know, I tried this and it didn't work, like video, for example. Well, and as a matter of fact, I have a great example of that. So I teach a bunch of classes here in Nevada. Some realtor comes to me after teaching a YouTube class. And in the next class, he comes in and he's like, hey man, I've been doing these videos and I'm not getting any leads. I said, well, how long have you been doing it? He's well, 3 months, you know? And I was like, clearly, I think I didn't set the expectations properly. I think you have to understand the game you're playing, right? We're playing the long-term game. And if you want the short term, it's there. If you want the quick turn sales, it's pick up the phone. It's call your past client database. It's, you know, to contact realtors. Those are quick turn deals. Yep. If you're looking to succeed with internet marketing, air quotes, right, or personal branding or video, that takes time. And I think you have to know the game you're in before you get in it. Somebody once, I think it was Lewis Howes, who said, if you plan on starting a podcast, do not even think about stopping for at least 1 year.
That's right.
You know, a weekly episode, ideally once a week, every week for a year. The same is true for YouTube. The same is true for video. The same is true for any content marketing. There's so much noise out there. There's so much fragmentation of people's attention. It takes that long to break through, number one. Number two, you probably know this as well as anybody, is it also takes time to find your voice.
Yes.
You know, and your rhythm and your cadence and your comfort level. Now we're doing this however long you've had been doing it, you're probably a lot more comfortable now.
Of course.
Right?
But like anything, right? That's anything. No one becomes an expert or feels competent when you first start out. And you're correct. You know, maybe you start with one concept and you're like, that wasn't the right fit. You know, that just didn't give the right messaging. That's okay. You know, you're going to have to keep tweaking it. And it's interesting, the podcast stats. Mm-hmm. So there's over 1 million podcasts. Okay. Right. But do you know that 500,000 of them have less than 4 episodes?
Wow. Really?
So it's really,
they're giving up.
Yes. People just give up after a few of them. So yes, that's just that whole sticking with something. So yes, right. I think we all encourage, and you're right. Video may not be right for some people, you know, but keep doing different things. Some people, maybe a blog is a good way for them to get their message out, right? There's many different ways to approach things, right?
Well, it's funny because I, for a while, you know, and I've even gotten swayed by some of the influencers out there to feel like, oh, you got to be doing this or got to be doing that. And I used to believe like, no, everybody should be doing video. And I've changed that recently. It's like, actually, you know what? No. Because there are some people who shouldn't be doing video. Meaning if they can't communicate well, if they don't speak well, if they don't, you know what I mean? There is a certain amount of, I agree with video, there's a certain amount of expectation, especially now that video has become such a regular common thing. There are, and even we've seen this happen with COVID, right? Like, remember when COVID first happened on Zoom? Everybody's just getting on. They got whatever, the background, the dog, the cat. And now have you seen, there's this conversation happening online that, hey, it's time to level up your Zoom presence, right? Get rid of the stuff in the background. Get rid of the cat and the dog and all that kind of stuff. I was on one Zoom one time. This woman asked a question. As soon as I answered the question, she lit up a cigarette on the Zoom.
No.
Yeah. I was like, okay. But I do think just there will be, people will expect a little bit more of a professionalism, if you will, to Zoom. Now, your authentic, your natural like videos where you're just grabbing your phone and all that, that's all well and good. But I think my point about the video is like, okay, maybe yes, you are better suited for a podcast. By the way, I'll say this. I started on YouTube back in 2006.
Get out, okay? Really?
And I was doing videos. And then I just stopped because other things were happening in my life. And then I pivoted actually to podcasts. Why? Because they were quicker and easier to produce.
Right.
And so for me, it was a shorter path. And now, of course, we're doing podcasts with video because the technology is there and it's virtually the same thing. But start where it's easy and simple for you, right? What is that going to be? Again, it depends on the person. It could be a blog. Could be you curating content and sharing other articles. It could be you just commenting on other people's posts and engaging.
You know, that's a very good point, Jeff. Mm-hmm. I think people don't realize how valuable that can be. You know, a lot of times people get overwhelmed with, I don't know how to create marketing material, or I may not be comfortable with video at this time. That's okay. A great way to start is actually just engaging in other people. And a lot of times you can share their content, you can comment on it. And I find that once you're known as being engaged and being someone that actually does engage in there, you will become more confident and you will start to say, you know what? I can add a little step to this. I can do a little bit more. And you start to, that might be a really good place to start for some people. And I also, before we go too deep, I'm curious, what do you think the buyer of 2030 is going to look like? So here we are. We're at 2020.
Yeah.
Let's fast forward because we all know that it's ever changing. And we know that the buyers of today, you know, we spoke about going extinct, right? And having to adapt We know that some things we may not even predict what 2030 will bring, but I'm curious if we are marketing ourselves and we're marketing our brands, we know we're moving forward. We're a few months away from 21. What do you think that 2030 buyer looks like?
Wow, that's usually, you ask the hard questions, don't you? That is a very good question. The truth of the matter is, I don't know, but here's what I think I can be confident in. I'm confident in, no matter how technology evolves, what has been proven to be true time and time again is that people will always crave the human connection. So, like my friend, Mark Schaefer, who wrote The Marketing Rebellion, his tagline is the most human company wins.
Yeah.
And like, you know, classic examples, I tell the story in my book of me, trying to get a mortgage out here when I first moved to Vegas. You know, the classic example of people trying to automate relationships and automate everything. Well, you know, it was Saturday and, you know, we found this house and it's a competitive situation. And so we need to get a pre-approval real quick. And lo and behold, right, I go online, I fill out the lender's online application, everything, bank assets, upload, you know, give permission to act. And all of a sudden, like Monday comes, crickets, nothing. And I'm like, this is a very well-known brand name, you know? And then Tuesday comes, I get a call from the assistant. Hi, we've got your stuff and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, by then I've long moved on, right? To another lender. And then Wednesday I get the automated video email from the branch manager welcoming me to the company and right, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, are you kidding me? What an epic fail in technology, right? And automation. So that is my belief about people. Yes, they want technology for efficiencies and automation and please save me time and effort and, you know, quote, reduce the friction, but I'm still going to want that human connection. And I think our role is going to be as a guide, to guide people along the journey. We're not the hero, the customer's the hero. And so that is kind of my answer. Is like, there will always be a need for the human involvement with a transaction of this size.
I 100% agree. You cannot certainly embrace automation, utilize it to complement us, but you can never replace the human interaction.
Well, especially when half of the market, sorry to interrupt, especially with half of the market is first-time homebuyers.
That's right.
They've never done it before. Mm-hmm. They need handholding. They need guidance.
It's scary. Going through this process, there is so much emotion that is happening with so many different things going through their brain of they're scared, they're excited, they're, you know, there's all these different emotions built up and they need a guide and an expert to lead them through the process.
And this is where back to our discussion about video, you know, post-COVID world. You know, I both know some loan officers like have this incredible 5-star client experience where they would come to the office and they've got their name placard out in the water, in the coffee or whatever. So now a post-COVID version of that is I'm talking to not a lot, but some loan officers who are doing buyer consults over Zoom.
Yep.
You know, and I think that's part of what's going to be the new norm for that buyer over the coming years is they're going to want that human connection, but they're going to say, you know what, do I really need to come to your office? Do I really need to drive across town? Let's just get on a Zoom, right? And have a face-to-face consult, use your supporting technology that helps you represent different loan options and things like that. But bottom line, it's you and I right here. It's the human connection that's going to be the differentiator.
I totally agree. And I do think that will be part of the 2030 process, you know, some form of it. I definitely agree with you. You know, sure. So now you spoke about the 5-star reviews and all of that. Let's speak a little bit about the importance of having those reviews for within our industry.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's back to your question about what does the buyer of 2030 look like? I mean, look, there's already tons of data that, you know, tell us how much people place value on value online reviews, right? They look to that first in conjunction with consulting other people in their sphere of influence in their network. But look, if that's the name of the game, that's the currency of trust, if you will, is like, how do I know you're good, right? Number one, do I find you online, right? Number two, how do I know you're good? And by the way, I don't know you're good by you telling me you're good, right? It's what are other people saying about you? So your brand is what other people say about you, right? How do they describe the experience of working with you? And online reviews is one way people can learn about that. So I came across a guy's Google My Business page the other day, and he's a pretty prominent, successful originator. This is the classic example of disrupt or die, of are you fading away? Okay. Because a lot of people, I was on a webinar once, and this guy I was talking about how you need to be on Facebook and have a presence and blah, blah. And this guy's like, hey, I've been in this business for 15 years. I'm not on Facebook. Why do I need to do it? You know? And I'm like, okay, well, I get it. You're good with past clients. You're good with dealing with customers, but are you fading away from their attention moving forward? And what about the future business,
right?
When they refer you to their relatives and sphere of influence, the first-time home buyers, those people are the first thing they're going to do is look you up, right? Even with that referral. Hey, you got to call, Laura, she's great, blah, 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 blah. Okay, cool. Let me get on. Laura. I can't find anything about Laura. Does she even exist? Right? That's why you need online views, the places where the consumer attention is, which is largely going to be Google My Business. And dare I say, yes, that Z word, Zillow.
And we do have to speak about what happens when you get the bad review. So what's your recommendation of how to deal with that? Because listen, we know that sometimes, things happen. We can't control everything and, it's their opinion. So how do you handle that?
Yeah, good question. As a matter of fact, that guy I was referencing, I forgot to finish that story. He had one review on his Google My Business listing, and it was 1 star.
Oh.
And there wasn't a very sweet comment about him either. Yet I read the review, and as I read it, us being experienced in the industry, I looked at that and could understand that the customer is upset, but what he described had happened seemed like perfectly normal.
Right.
That could happen in the mortgage process. But here's the problem. The loan officer didn't address it, didn't mitigate it, didn't communicate it. So to your question about if you do get a bad online review and you don't have software that kind of puts a fence around that before it goes live, some platforms out there do that. But let's just say you got a bad review. I mean, I think you need to address that head on. And that's not, call the customer, talk through it, see if they'd be willing to revise their review. And if not, worst case is you just get on there and you have your own version of the story and be very, fall on the sword, be graceful, right? And just be apologetic. If you did screw up, if somebody on your team screwed up, you got to own it and just say, you know what? Yep. Here's what happened. Be honest with you. It was this, and be totally transparent about it. Here's the other thing about online reviews. People don't trust 100% all 5-star reviews.
No,
they don't. So having a few 3-star, 4-star, that's okay. That means you're normal, And that means they don't think it's like an algorithm or an AI robot or something putting all those reviews out there.
Exactly. That's right. And again, going back to that 20-30 buyer again, that is absolutely going to be a very high level of importance. And everything that you said, like you said, if you look at any of the first-time home buyers now, if they're millennials or even Gen Z, I mean, you've got Gen Z but purchasing homes right now. Yeah. First thing they're doing is they're going to look you up to see your presence, and they're going to look at your reviews. It's just know it. Don't even question it. Don't even think about it. That's happening.
Well, think about how many different examples could we give? Whether it's the realtor who gave you a referral to 2 or 3 lenders, whether it's a friend of yours who said, yeah, work with so-and-so. But during your search, somebody else popped up on your page. And the one you were referred to had like a very weak online presence, very little reviews. And the other one who just organically came up on your feed because you were searching for these things is like online reviews, lots of content, got a presence, got like all that kind of stuff out there, and they're like really present where you're attending. Wouldn't you feel more inclined to be like, gosh, I know like Sally said I should call Tim, but this gal over here, she looks like a superstar,
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's just reality. That's just the world we live in right now. So going back to adapting and having that presence and not to become extinct, that's how you prevent it. Okay. So Jeff, as we're wrapping up, you said that this book you wanted to provide truth.
Yeah.
So I want to know, lay some truth on us, as we're wrapping up, of those nuggets that you feel the audience needs to hear.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I just want to say the book was also a passion project because, you know, once you get in this industry, as they say, it's hard to get out. I have a passion for loan officers because I was on the streets doing it. And I know what it's like, how hard it is to succeed in this business and build like real success. So everything is written from the standpoint of, I believe any of you who read the book can do this. Can pick the one to two, the three ideas or concepts from the book and apply them, whether it's social media, whether it's your personal brand, online reviews, whether it's your customer experience process, et cetera. I'd say in context with the book is what I mean by that when I say I believe this. Yes, things are shifting. Yes, the digital real estate disruption is real. Yes, I do believe that if you do not adapt and add some of these modern mortgage marketing strategies to your business, I believe you will be fading away. It's not like somebody's going to shut the light switch and you're gone the next day. It's a slow process that here's the risk. You don't necessarily notice it, especially right now.
Yeah.
Right? Because everybody's business is exploding and capacity's at maximum. But we all know. So here's the thing. What's your blind spot, right? Coming into 2021, right? When the rates settle back into more of a normal range, whatever that is, 3-4%-ish, right? What's your competitive advantage? What's your value prop going to be? How are you going to continue to sustain, right? Does anybody want to make the same level of income you're making right now? Okay, great. When the refis are pulled out from under you and they're gone and everybody and their brothers refied and then the people who bought houses are in their, 2.5-3.5% interest rate, what's next? Where's your business going to come from? So it can come from online. You having a presence online, putting content out there. You and I both know there's loan officers I talk to every single week who's like, hey man, yeah, I got this lead from Instagram. I got this from my YouTube channel, et cetera, et cetera. This will be an additional pillar and source of organic business for you. Here's the thing I love about creating content and putting it out there for business. By and large, by the time you talk to those people, they're already sold.
That's right.
On you. There's no selling.
That's right. It's
like, hey, I've been watching your videos. I've been reading your content. I've been following you, et cetera, et cetera. I'm ready to move forward.
There's already a connection. They feel that they know you. You've already provided value to them with whatever you've been, whether it's through education or whether it's information or whether it's just a connection of their local community. You've already provided that. So they feel that connection with you.
Yeah. So I think to close that out, to answer your question, the truth is that the buyer of 2030 wants, right, a modern real estate professional, mortgage and real estate. They want somebody who they can find and engage with online. They can read their customer stories and experiences because they don't want to talk to you until they want to talk to you. Does that make sense? Like, give me an opportunity to engage with you without talking to you. And that's going to be through the various ways of content that you put out there online. And so the buyer of 2030 is that's going to be the buyer journey. They're going to engage with content. They're going to write all that stuff online. And then they're ultimately going to decide to choose you or somebody else. But if you aren't there, if I can't find you online, do you even exist? The last thing I'll say is this. This is the question I pose to realtors a lot when I'm teaching this personal branding class. And that is, what's more important as an agent? Being knowledgeable or being well-known? And then everybody's like, well, no, knowledgeable. And the truth of the matter is they're both important. However, if you're a secret agent, right? If I don't know you exist, all your knowledge, all your caring, all your like knowing how to structure a loan, none of that matters. It's about getting to the dance first.
You're silent.
Exactly.
That's right. Yep. There's no voice. So use your voice. That's exactly whatever
use
way
your voice
that,
and use the tools.
That's exactly right. Absolutely. Well, Jeff, this has been it gave us so much to think about. And I think we definitely have identified our path of going towards this buyer of 2030. So thank you. Cool. So tell us, how do people find you? How do they listen to you? How do they connect to you? How do they learn more about everything you have?
Sure. So if they want to tune into the podcast, they can do that. It's mortgagemarketingradio.com. If they're interested in getting the book, you can go to disruptordiebook.com. I'm actually running a special right now where all you need to do is pay for shipping. I'll pay for the book. So for about $10, you get a copy of the book sent to you in the mail, disruptordiebook.com.
Oh, that is awesome. Well, thank you so much. This has been a pleasure. We wish you all the best in everything that you do in the future. Take care,
Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Positively Charged Biz. I'm Laura Brandeo, and we are here to motivate, inspire, and support our listeners as they write their life stories. If you have an inspiring story, please email me at laura@positivelycharged.biz. And remember to subscribe to hear more great guests. And connect to us on Facebook at Positively Charged and Instagram at Positively Charged Podcast. Until next time, we wish you a positive day.